This is comes from Isaiah chapter 55. Hear, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy, and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your earnings for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear, and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Thank you. You may be seated. So last week I mentioned that Rosemary preached for us and was thankful to have her do so. And one of the main things that the last week was about was simply that grace starts with God. That God is the starting point of grace. This is going to be such a complicated thing today. Just wait. You're going to be amazed. But God is the starting place of grace. A simple dot and incredibly profound when you actually dig into that, what that means in your life and mine. Friends, we pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, Lord. May you give us the humility and wisdom and spirit that we need to hear from you so that we can become more like you. So that your spirit can do what is needed within each of us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So grace begins with God, which is both probably sometimes a little terrifying because it means it's out of our control, for those of us who like to have control. But it is also probably incredibly relieving for many of us that God, that the grace begins with God. Because I think if I'm honest as I reflect on my own life, that there are times in my life that I maybe begin a subtle drift. It's never dramatic. It's just this easy, slow thing that starts to happen. And that drift with me and God is not on purpose. And my life fills up. I get busy. Our calendars are full. My attention span is shorter because of so much that's going on. And then here's what happens is as you get busier and your life gets busier, my life gets busier, I start to say, oh, I'll reconnect in X number of days or weeks or on this day or when this happens. Or when I get through this, I'll refocus on my relationship with God. And before I realize it, I'm still showing up for my responsibilities, still doing what is necessary. But before I realize it, I've drifted to the point where something underneath just feels weaker than normal. Maybe thinner than normal, maybe not quite as rooted or grounded as it could or should be. There's just a sense of like, this is not as strong as I would like it to be. And these drifts are never really dramatic. Most of the time it's in our normal daily life. And perhaps that is what makes it dangerous at times, is that we're drifting from our relationship with Christ without even realizing it. And I imagine that I'm probably not alone in this one. I imagine I'm not the only one this has happened to, or perhaps is happening to. Most of us don't disconnect with God all at once. It's this thing that just happens over time because we're busy trying to be productive. We always stay involved with everything. And over time, my faith and your faith, our faith, perhaps becomes something more that we manage than that we live into or enjoy. So here's a question for us to consider as we go into this morning. I wonder where in your life you have noticed drift. Specifically, is it in your faith life at this point in time? Have you noticed drift, or perhaps pausing and asking ourselves, have I drifted in this season of my life? Is maybe another way to ask that question. And it's at this place that John 15 speaks into. Some of you are perhaps familiar with this. For me, I struggled with this scripture for a while because it sounds so idealistic that it feels unachievable. But I actually think maybe there's more to it than what initially meets the eye. So John chapter 15, starting in verse 4. Abide in me as I abide in you. These are the words of Jesus to the disciples, to the apostles, to us even today. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. What a hard word. Apart from me, you can do nothing. It's interesting here. Jesus, in this part, is not saying for them to do more. There's not this call to do more. Instead, it's an invitation in a lot of ways. This is an invitation, which is perhaps why I struggle with it for so long. But that word abide, about abiding in Christ, at its most basic form, is about dwelling. It is about being with. It's about being with God. It's not about effort. It is about connection. If you notice, the branches are not talking about, there's no discussion about the branches reaching out as far as possible to get as much sunlight as possible, or to produce as much fruit. That's not what it's talking about. It's not talking about becoming the strongest and biggest branch, or the one that is the most colorful and brilliant to look at, or the most unique shape. There is nothing about the quality of what the branch is in this invitation. It's not a you must become better or more. It is a simply to be connected to be in the presence of, to be with others. I wonder if there's people that when you are with them on a regular basis, where you actually can just spend unfocused time, like where you're not doing anything, you're just together, that other people that rejuvenate your soul by doing that. Then it becomes incredibly meaningful to you to be with them. That's that sense of being with, of being connected to, because God is not calling for performance here. God is calling for connection where life and spirit flows from. And this is how God's grace works. This is why often you'll hear, if you're in Wesleyan or United Methodist Church as long, you might hear terms like means of grace, avenues for which you can stay connected, where God comes and connects with you, where life flows from. Where you can and I can encounter grace. Paul names this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. He says this, God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you notice the direction of the speech, of the movement? It's not you have done or you must do. It is God is calling you. God is pulling you into relationship. God is initiating and inviting you to dwell. Remember last week? Grace begins with God. God is the one who is connecting, making it possible for us to connect, and asking us to dwell with himself. Another way to look at this is that we have God as the point where grace begins. And then there's you. And we can choose to ignore this grace that God has offered in our life. But God continues to invite and to reach out and call you into. And it is because of that invitation and that grace of God that we have connection with God. We get aligned because we've got two points. It's God and it's you. Connected, abiding, dwelling with. That's the complexity of the drawing today. Thank you. You see, this idea of grace forming a connection doesn't even just begin with Jesus or Paul. Like, grace connecting human beings to God has been going on for a long time. There's this scripture in Jeremiah 31, which I'll show you in just a second. But just some background about Jeremiah. Jeremiah is both an incredibly difficult book to read and hope-filled book to read. It is both of those things at the same time, because Jeremiah is speaking to a people who are scattered. They are scattered everywhere. They have lost their home. Jerusalem has fallen. The temple has been destroyed. And these people are in exile, and in many ways probably wondering who they are and if they can ever be a people again. If you could take your most discouraged moment in your life, that is probably how most of them felt, especially immediately after they were spread out and dislocated. You see, their shared identity together as a people had been shattered and destroyed, and they were wondering who they were and if they were ever still going to be a people again. And it is in that space that we get to Jeremiah 31, which says this: "At that time, says the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus says the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness when Israel sought for rest. The Lord appeared to him from far away. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you." Just listen to those last two lines of God speaking. "I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you." Grace begins with God. There's an invitation for us to connect through that faithful love of God. But this scripture is not just to one person. This is to a community of people, not just an individual. This is not private comfort, if you will, for one person. It is a communal promise of people together. God is telling them, even when you are exiled and scattered and you're unsure about who you are or who you will ever be, God is telling them, I am still with you and I am still forming you into a people. And this is both exciting and comforting to the person because they're not forgotten, but it's also to the broader community, which is what God still today says to me and to you. Grace begins with God, and I'm still faithful reaching out to you, and I'm still shaping you, and you as in plural you, all y'alls, if you will. Grace is here not just for forgiveness. Grace is also here for a regathering of people. The chapter later on in Jeremiah goes on to describe the rebuilding of cities, planting vineyards. If I remember correctly, I'll not verify this, but I'm pretty sure it talks about weddings and celebrations. There's this idea of hope and coming back together and celebrating together as a community, because grace connects what has been broken apart, and grace forms people again. And it's important for us to see this, that grace connects us to God, but also, I forgot there is one more thing for the drawing. Look at me. Forgot that. Grace also connects us to others. Grace also connects us to others. Because if you think about it for just a second, God, if you think about the fruit of the Spirit, that God calls us to grow into these things. Patience, love, forgiveness, kindness, all these things that God calls us to grow into, try growing into that by yourself. How do we become a forgiving people if we isolate ourselves all the time? You can't grow into forgiveness without practicing it. And you can't have things to forgive unless you're engaging with other people. You see, it is that grace in and among other people that we grow together. It's between us. Patience does not develop alone. It is a practice. You see, if we don't practice this grace of living as God's people together, then we run the risk of becoming comfortable, of mistaking independence for some sense of greater maturity. It's actually much easier in many ways. You see, Scripture is talking about us not avoiding friction, but instead understanding that grace-filled relationships happen in the connections and the dwelling and the natural friction that happens when you engage with other people. So we are being asked to dwell in Christ as individual guests and as a community together. It is both and. This is God's grace. It is individual and community. There's somebody I know who works closely with somebody else. They're in the same office, and they've been there for a little while. They're in similar roles, so they support each other and have developed a friendship over time through that. And you know these things happen. Maybe perhaps sit in a meeting, and somebody says something that you are not a fan of, and you're trying to hide it on your face so you can navigate in a meaningful way. But there are days that maybe our face shows a little more about what we're feeling than what we would like it to show. And so when this happens among these two, one of them will look at the other one and say, "Fix your face." Right? And it's like, you couldn't just go say that to anybody. But once you know each other and you've built this relationship and spending time with one another, you learn how to support one another and connect with one another, then it becomes a grace-filled relationship. So this morning, I ask you two questions, but one in particular is of most importance. First, where are you trying to bear fruit without staying connected? Where are you trying to bear fruit without staying connected? Connected to God, connected to others? The second one, perhaps most significant, where have you chosen isolation because it felt safer than connection? Where have you chosen isolation because it felt safer than connection? We don't gather here together because we have it all together. We gather as a faith community, as a congregation of the United Methodist Church. We gather together because God's grace is still forming every single one of us as individuals. And God's grace is forming every single one of us collectively as a community together. Last week we said that grace begins with God. And this week we're acknowledging that grace connects us to God and to each other. In the Wesleyan tradition, grace is never, never just about saving individuals. Not in the Wesleyan tradition. It is always about forming people as individuals and as a collective group whose lives are shaped together in God's grace so that we all together grow to reflect God's love more wholly and completely in the world. So I ask you again to think about this week. Where have you chosen isolation because it felt safer than connection? And what will you do about it? Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank you that your love, that your undeserved attention and care that we name as grace does not leave us when we are isolated, does not leave us when we are scattered, but instead is always inviting us back. Always inviting us back into connection with you, back into community with other people. So God, may your Spirit work in those of us this week that need it. That if we find ourselves isolated, that we have cut ourselves off from others, God, may you move within us and give us the wisdom to acknowledge whatever changes we need to make as an invitation for us to make those changes. But then also, may you give us the insight and wisdom on how to lean into, to abide in you, and to abide in relationships with other people. God, may you give each of us the courage to remain and to trust that we can grow as we abide and dwell with you and in the others. Thank you for Jesus Christ, for your created world, and for the Spirit that goes before us and is always with us. In Jesus' name.